Jesus has a table spread.
Hello, friends. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I welcome you to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. I trust our broadcast will be a real blessing. And now let's come and dine around the Word of God together.
Hope is sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calls, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time.
And I welcome you to January 13th, the Tuesday broadcast of the Gospel Pulpit. Brother Ricky along with you. It's a great joy again to be with you today. Hope you're having a terrific Tuesday. We're going to bow our heads in prayer. A lot of our radio listeners may have needs. They may be sick. They may need something. And I don't know your need, friend, but I know that God does. Will you pray with me at this time? Father, I pray somebody may have suffered a great sickness today. Somebody may suffer depression. Somebody may be feel alone today. Lord, would you go cheer them up and have your will your way? Lord, you are the God, Lord, that says that we're to look up. And Lord, I pray you are, and you're the God of the brokenhearted. And I pray you'll go help them and have your will your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Boy, the Lord is good, ain't he? Praise God. Amen. I just thank God for his amazing grace, don't you? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Boy, I thank God for his grace, don't you? It's wonderful. The Bible said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. I love the Lord. Well, maybe somebody just needs a touch from God today. I hope you'll get what you need. Stay in the Bible. Stay in prayer. Read your Bible through this year if you can, and get that prayer list going. Amen. And pray. You don't have to start out big, just start out little. Amen. Make that prayer list, all right? If you'd like to write me this week, I would love to hear from you. The Gospel Pulpit, Post Office Box 797. And that's Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. It's always a great joy to be here and be on the radio. And I praise the Lord for what God is doing. And I feel led this week to be preaching on prayer. And this is our second message of three on prayer. We'll be going back to that. And hopefully later in the year, maybe we'll see how the Lord does. I'd like to get back in the life of David. I don't know if we'll get to do that this year or not, but we got some other stuff coming up that we're going to be doing. And I try to follow the Holy Spirit in that. We have 76 messages on the life of David. If you want those, you can contact us about those. Amen. All right, we're going back to a portion of our message today on prayer. Father, will you take it and use it for your glory in Jesus' name? Amen. I don't think you ought to go in the presence of God and demand anything. Amen. But I'll tell you one thing. Boy, you can pray. God wants you to pray. God is looking for your prayer. Has God heard from you? Amen. But thou, the person in the prayer. Now, I want you to notice, but thou. Now, I want you to notice the next part of it. Not only the person, but I want you to notice the practice of prayer. Not only the person of prayer, but the practice of prayer. But thou. I'm looking at Matthew 6:6. When thou prayest. When thou prayest. Not if thou prayest. When thou prayest. You see, if you're a born again, blood-washed believer, God wants to hear from you. God wants fellowship with you. God desires communication with you. It's not just the preacher that can pray. God wants you to pray. And I wish more preachers, and I love preachers. I love men of God. But I wish more preachers would steer their people toward individual prayer. Unfortunately, I'm afraid maybe some preachers like the idea of praying for their people, and it makes them feel important and have power over them or something. By the way, hold on a minute. I'm not saying the preacher shouldn't pray for the people. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying you shouldn't go to your pastor and ask him to pray for. I'm not saying that at all. I remember a very clear incident that happened 3 years ago in our ministry. And I called my pastor at the time, and I said, Pastor, we've got an issue that's come up here, and we need some prayer. And I believe he's a praying man. I believe he prayed for me about it. But wait a minute, what I'm saying to you is, God wants to hear from you. God wants you, but thou, when thou prayest. God wants you to pray. Matter of fact, you're commanded to pray. Matter of fact, it's a sin if you don't pray. Isn't it amazing that we go to everybody with our problems except the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, we'll tell a preacher about it. We'll tell our friends about it. We'll tell our spouse about it. We'll tell our children. We'll tell everybody our problem except the Lord. And God's sitting right there waiting to work that thing out. Jeremiah 33:3. The Bible said, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Boy, there's a lot of stuff I don't know. When I tell you, when you go to God in prayer, and you begin to pray to God, and you begin to call on God, but thou, when thou prayest, that's the practice of prayer. Amen. Notice this, in Acts 6:13, the Bible says, and on the Sabbath, now, by the way, at this time, the church was worshiping God on the first day of the week. But the Sabbath was on Saturday, and Paul went to the Jewish Sabbath to be able to reach some of these Jews. He went beyond. You see what he was doing. This wasn't Sunday. The Sabbath is not Sunday. The Sabbath is on Saturday. Now, this is on Saturday afternoon. Now, listen to this. Acts 16:13, and on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. That means it was a custom. That means it was a habit. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And that caught my attention the other day. The women. Now, most of the time, it's women that praise. Amen. A lot of you greatest prayer warriors are women. You say, when I preach, God hasn't called me to preach. No, lady. God, but we need to get women back in their place. Amen. You don't have to have a public ministry, lady. And by the way, if you got to put it, Mr. I know there's some ladies that do ladies things and stuff like that, and that's fine. But I'm just saying this to you. I think a private ministry is better than a public ministry anyway. And there's a lot of people. You've heard me call her name on the radio, but Sister Ruby Hill was one of the greatest prayer warriors for this ministry in the early days of gospel broadcasting. Sister Ruby Hill over in Kentucky, I don't know how many prayers she prayed for me. And she prayed for her station over there, and she prayed for people, and she loved God. And this dear lady, I mean, she stayed up all night, and she's 82-year-old praying for me one night, praying for my mama. And I want to tell you something, friend. I want to tell you, we need some people like that. You say, preacher, I'm in a nursing home. I can't do anything. You have your mind? You can pray. You say, preacher, I'm in a wheelchair. I can't do anything. You can pray. You know what? Would you do me a favor? Why don't you pray while I preach? Amen. Maybe you can't get a hold of this radio microphone. Maybe you'll never reach the people that I reach. Don't be jealous of that. Just pray for me. You'll have as bigger part in this ministry by praying. You say, preacher, I don't have any money. I can't give you any money today on the radio. That's all right. Have you prayed for me? But thou, when thou prayest, you see, prayer was a custom here. Paul, these people were wanting God. Now that word "want" there, it's in the Greek, it literally means this: to do by law. To accustom, in other words, it was part of the Jewish law that they prayed, but it was a command that they pray, and they were following God's command. Now you say, preacher, we're not under law. No, we're not under the Jewish law, but we're under the Bible law, and God still commands us to pray. And I want to say this to you. Now, I want to say this, not mean or ugly, but I say it bluntly. You and I are going to stand in judgment for the times we've not prayed. Now, there's a judgment coming. The judgment seat of Christ is not a picnic where they hand out banana sandwiches and banana pudding and ice cream. I want you to understand that. If some preacher has cheapened that judgment to you, he has misled you. You need to study your Bible. You see, the fire, which I believe is the judgment of God, the Word of God, is going to try every man's work on that day. And how are you going to feel when you stand empty-handed where you have not prayed? I told you about the man that stood in my yard. He was a Bible scholar, but he was coming down to his die. He would die probably 6 weeks from the day he was standing in my yard, 6 weeks and 3 days, something like that. He'd be in eternity. And he stood in my yard, and he said, I wished I'd have prayed more. My friend, listen to me. I want to tell you, we need to pray. We need to be up men and women, boys and girls of prayer, young people of prayer. I've told you the story on this radio many times, the story of Jay Johnson, my neighbor, and I prayed for Jay. I never did go witness to him. I disobeyed the Lord about that part, but I did pray for Jay, and I prayed for Jay, and I prayed for Jay, and one day Jay got saved. Now, I don't know if many of my prayers helped or not, but I think they did. And I mean, I'm talking a 14-year-old kid. I prayed for this man, because he was taking his family through the same things I'd been through. And I didn't want his kids to have to go through what I'd went through. Amen. And I want you to understand something, friend. I want you to know Jay was a great Christian after that and a good man. Got saved. And I saw him right before he went to heaven. And he thanked me for praying him in. Amen. Let me tell you something, brother. We can pray a lot of sinners in if we get to praying. Amen. If we'll get to pray, if you'll make it a regular habit every day to pray, you pray a lot of people in. Do you know that? A lot of people are lost. You can pray them in if you'll practice prayer. Boy, I tell you what, we talk about prayer. Oh, preacher, let's pray about it. Or you tell somebody, well, I'm praying for you. Wait a minute, I want to ask you. Don't tell anybody that you're praying for them if you don't pray for them. Did you know you're lying? Can I just put it down to you? If you say, brother, I'm praying for you, you say, well, that's an expression. No, that's a lie. If you're not praying for somebody, don't tell them you're praying for them. Listen, friend, if you tell somebody you're going to pray for them, pray for them. Now, I can't put everybody I meet on my prayer list. I can't do it. I have people come to me all the time and say, preacher, would you put this on your prayer list on that? I count that an honor. I don't know how people know. I guess I talk about prayer a lot, but I'm nothing, man. I fail in my prayer life. I fail in everything. I'm a failure. But I try to pray, but I can't put everybody on my list. If I did, I'd be praying all day. I would never get anything done. But I try to pray for those that I feel like that the Holy Spirit would have me put on this. But now I'll tell you what I do. When somebody comes to me in a service and they say to me, would you pray for Aunt Martha? Or would you pray for a kid? Or would you pray for a husband? I try my best to breathe a prayer right then and there for them. I may not tell them about it, but I try to. Because, listen, prayer is important with the practice of prayer. Then number three, I want to talk about the place of prayer. All right, the place of prayer. Verse number six, enter into thy closet. Enter into thy closet. Now, everyone should have a place to pray. Everybody should have a place to pray. I have several places that I pray. All right, my wife, bless her heart, I appreciate my good wife down the hall here while I'm recording in the next office. She's a good lady. And every house that we've ever lived, every place we've ever lived since we've been married 18 years when I'm recording this. And every place I ever lived, I've had a special room where I have my study and all that, and I can get a hold of God and pray. And so I've got several places I go and pray. And I want to tell you something. You need to have some places that you go and pray. Do you have a place? Do you have prayer places that you go pray? Now, what he's talking about entering that closet is getting into a place with just you and God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to be blunt again. Can I do that? You can't pray effectively with a TV on. You know, my wife, sometimes I might be watching something, and I'd have to be honest with you, I don't watch as much stuff as I used to, but maybe I was watching a ball game or something, and I would be sitting there, and my wife would say something to me, and I'd just miss whatever she said. You know why? Because or maybe I'd be listening to the radio, or maybe I'd be doing something else, and I'd just miss what she said. You know why? You can't hear two people at one time. You need to get all that junk turned off. By the way, these phones. Listen, I'm not going to be tied to a phone. I'm just not going to do it, okay? I'm not going to be tied to a phone. You say, preacher, you'll miss my phone call. Well, you can call me back, or I'll call you back or something, but I'm not going to be tied to a phone. Listen, there's a time. You know, my job as a preacher, I'm to give myself to prayer. Did you know that? That's what God said for me to do. And so the place of prayer is very important. You're going to have to make a place. And you're going to have to make a place where the kids ain't, where the wife, and you're going to have to, if your wife is not a gracious wife like mine is, then you're going to have to say to her, honey, I got to have a place. And by the way, let me get on the guys a little bit, can I? You guys need to let your wives pray. My wife would not like me telling this on the radio, but she don't listen to me much anyway, so on the radio. Now, she does sometimes, but don't tell her I said this. But she prays just like I pray. And I have to be careful because of my eyesight. She might be somewhere and I don't realize she's praying at the time. I might walk up. And so I want to give her space. Men are very guilty. Woman, you get the meal on the table. You get the kid. Well, friend, we come to the end of our radio broadcast for Tuesday, January the 13th. It's been a great joy to be with you. You've been listening to a message, R485-1. And that means it's just got more than one part to it. So, R485-2. I'm sorry. This is part two. This week is part two, R485-2. And you're listening to that this week, all right? And there's three of these on prayer. If you'd like to have them, we can send them to you on CD recording, or we can email them to you. Just write us or email us, comments@gbiradio.org, or we'll give the mailing address at the end of the broadcast. They're free of charge as long as supplies last. God bless you.
Jesus. Well, friends, I want to thank you for listening to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. Address your cards and letters to the Gospel Pulpit, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn. I hope you'll tune in again on the same station at the same time for another Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast when we come and dine around the Word of God together.
All the time, he who fed the multitudes turned the water into wine to the hungry.